ברוכים הנמצאים, ladies, we are studying parashat Pinchas, which is the parashat השבוע. Parashat Pinchas, on a regular year, that's not a leap year, like this year, always will be the first parashah of the Ben HaMetzarim period. That's the period between Shavasar B'Tammuz that we commemorated last Tuesday until Tisha B'Av. So always Parashat Pinchas is the first parashah of the 3 weeks, as we would call it. Of course, our rabbis don't take that for granted. They don't believe that anything is a coincidence. If the calendar has it be that Pinchas will begin the 3 weeks, so there must be a connection between our parashah and the zman, the time that it falls in. I didn't see this, what I'm telling you now, but if I had to guess, I would say very simple, that although these are weeks of judgment and difficult weeks of the Hurban Beit HaMikdash, our tradition says that Be'ezrat Hashem, the Jewish people will be redeemed one day. And our redemption is done in two stages. First, it's going to be done by Eliyahu HaNavi, and then, of course, Mashiach. Our parashah is Parashat Pinchas. The Zohar Kadosh says that Pinchas eventually became the Malach Eliyahu. Like it says in the Gemara, Pinchasu Eliyahu. So therefore, we read the parashah of Pinchas, which is a parashah of redemption, in the beginning of the 3 weeks, so a person shouldn't get depressed. A person shouldn't get down. A person shouldn't say, what's going to be? We're already thousands of years and we don't have a Beit HaMikdash, and God has, God forbid, forsaken us. So we begin with Pinchasu Eliyahu. The parashah reminds us that there is a Pinchas, there is a Eliyahu HaNavi, and there is a Geula. I will tell you a halakha in the Shulchan Aruch that's interesting to note. There's a halakha that says that you're not allowed to destroy a synagogue until already you have prepared another one in its stead. The rabbis were concerned that if you're going to destroy the first synagogue, you might not build a second synagogue. And then the community is going to be left without a Bet Knesset. So you have to finish the second synagogue, then you can destroy the first one. God keeps the Torah. God keeps the Shulchan Aruch. God keeps the law. So that means he cannot destroy the Bet HaMikdash unless he already prepared another one in its stead. So the destruction of the second Bet HaMikdash guarantees to us that in Shamayim there's another temple that already is built. As a matter of fact, in our prayers on the holidays, on the Regalim, we say, Har'enu b'binyano, show us the building. We're not going to build the third Beit HaMikdash, it's built already. We just say to God, show it to us. Sammehenu b'tikuno, we're going to make some tikkunim, adjustments. We're not going to have to actually build it. We're just going to make some minor adjustments. So the third Beit HaMikdash has to be built already, because God would not be allowed to destroy the second temple unless he already prepared for us a replacement. So that's a consoling element as well. So that's a simple interpretation why Pinchas is read. Already we start the 3 weeks with a reminder that the Ge'ula is still on its way. There was a rabbi that was called the Apter Rav. The Apter Rav is the Ohev Yisrael. He was the rabbi in the city of Mezhbuz. He's buried right next to the Baal Shem Tov. And he writes in this week's parashah a little deeper reason. He says, Parashat Pinchas talks about all the Jewish holidays. That's the main bulk of the parashah, the holidays. And the holidays that are written are as follows. Shabbat is mentioned. Rosh Chodesh is mentioned. You have the 7 days of Pesach, the 1 day of Shavuot, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, the one day of Yom Kippur, and the 8 days of Sukkot and Shemini Atzeret. Those are all the holidays in order that are written in this week's parasha. Well, if you do the math, I did it before I came, Shabbat is one, Rosh Chodesh is one, Pesach is seven, that's nine. Shavuot is one day, that's 10. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is 3 days, that's 13. And Sukkot and Shemini Aseret is 8. So altogether, there are 21 days of holidays. 21 different events, we'll call them, during the year that are Yomei Simcha. So he writes, and I quote, De Elu Hachaf Alef Yom Sheben Yudzayin Betamuz Letishah Be'av. He says, if you count the days between Shiv'asar Betamuz to Tishah Be'av, it's also 21 days. The 3 weeks is 21 days. So he says, Hem Mekoriyim V'Shulshiyim Lechol HaMo'adot Shel HaShana Shem Bechlalam Gam Ken Chaf Alef Yom. So he makes a Hiddush and he says, the 21 days of Ben HaMetzarim correspond to 21 holidays that are written in the Parasha. The way I understand it, though he doesn't explain that much more, he says, Ve'elu chaf alef yom sheben HaMetzarim hem mekorim shorshiim lahem. The way I understand it, it could be that again, on the holidays, the Parasha tells us, we used to bring korbanot. Every holiday has its korban. Even Shabbat has its korban. Musaf. Rosh Chodesh also has a korban. Musaf. Now that we don't have a Beit HaMikdash, although we commemorate the holidays, but we're unable to bring the sacrifices. Instead, we make a prayer called Tefillat Musaf. So it's a similar concept. They're telling us that in these 21 days that you're mourning the temple, one day those 21 days that Parashat Pinchas mentions will come back, and all the sacrifices that are mentioned in the parasha will be brought again in the temple in all its glory. So the 21 days of the holidays are against the 21 days of the Ben HaMetzarim. To say that these days, once again, will turn into holidays as we had. So these are all remazim to the 21. However, there is a question over here, and this is the question that I came to discuss. It's a problem. I took it for granted when the Apter Rav said that there's 21 days between Shiv'asar B'Tammuz and Tish'ah B'Av. I didn't think I had to count. But I said, nonetheless, let me just double check. And to my shock, when I counted the days between Shiv'asar B'Tammuz and Tish'ah B'Av, it's actually 22 days. Counting Shiv'asar B'Tammuz and counting Tish'ah B'Av. I mean, I assume you have to count Shiv'asar B'Tammuz and you have to count Tish'ah B'Av. Those are the 3 weeks. The 3 weeks don't end before Tish'ah B'Av, and they don't start after Shiv'asar B'Tammuz. If I would ask you to mark on your calendar the 3 weeks, you mark an X, Shiv'asar B'Tammuz, and you mark an X, Tish'ah B'Av. And the After Rav comes along and says, the 21 days. I looked in some other books to see how they count these days. And I find that it's very, very significant. If you look at the beginning of the book of Yirmiyah, in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vahi Devar Hashem Elai Lemor, God is speaking to Yirmiyah. Ma ataro e Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu, what do you see? Va'omar, and I said, Makel shaked ani ro'e. Makel shaked. I see a stick, and from the stick is coming out almonds. Shaked, melashon shakedim. So God says, etavta lirot, you saw good, because I am going to bring the destruction very, very quickly. Shaked could mean quickly. Rashi says, but why an ammon stick? So he writes the following, and I quote, Hashaked hazeh, this ammon, from the time that it blossoms to the time that it becomes ripened, משעת חניתתו עד גמר בשולו 21 יום. It's exactly 21 days. כמניין ימים שבין 17 בתמוז, שבו הובקעה העיר לתשעה באב, שבו נשרף הבית. The exact number of days from the time that the city was, the walls were breached on תשעה באב, to the day that the temple was destroyed on תשעה באב. Now already, it's not the Abderav anymore. Now already God is telling us that the way you count the 3 weeks is it's 21 days, Kenegad the Amund. Just like the Amund happens very quickly, it's process. So the destruction will happen very quickly. From the time of the breaching of the wall to the time of the destruction, 3 weeks, 21 days, and it's over. Makel shaked ani ro'eh. Well, not only that, but if somebody would open up the Sha'ar HaKavanot. The Sha'ar HaKavanot is a book written by Rav Chaim Vital, which actually tells us all the secrets about the year, any time of the year, whatever the time is, from Rabbeinu Ha'ari. And he writes clearly, Chaf Alef Yom, Ben Shiva'asar B'Tamuz, L'Tish'a B'Av. So most of the sources always will count it as 21 days. And my question is, why don't they count it as 22 days? A simple question. I know it's a technical question. And some of you say, oh, what's the difference? 21 days, 22 days. Bottom line, we know when it is. Shavuot B'Tamuz, Tisha B'Av. So to call it 21, call it 22, it's all technical anyway. You'll see it's not technical. It's important to know how to calculate it. Again, if I had to answer that question without knowing anything, I would have answered the question the following. You don't count the Tisha B'Av. Why don't you count the Tisha B'Av? That's the main day. But actually, if you know, Tisha B'Av is called a Mu'ed. It's called some sort of holiday. We do not say vidui on Tisha B'Av. That means we don't supplicate for our sins on that day. And any day we don't supplicate for sins is a holiday, like on Shabbat. You would have said we don't supplicate for our sins. We should make vidui the whole day. It's the worst day of the year. It's true, but our rabbis tell us there was a silver lining in the day. Silver lining in the day was that God took his anger out on sticks and stones, and he didn't take his anger out on the people. We had a building that God took as a collateral, and the Jewish people remained. You could always replace bricks. You can't replace people. So therefore, on Tisha B'Av, there's some optimism in the day. That when the day is over, and you look behind you, you don't see a temple, but you see a nation still standing. So you say, okay, Baruch Hashem, when the storm came, it hit the building, but it didn't hit the people. The people were able to survive the storm. But not if there's a hurricane. And you see a hurricane come, boom, and it knocks down the house. You say, oh, Shomu Shamayim Azot. There's 50 people living in this house. What's going to be over here? What a tragedy. And then all of a sudden, the next morning, you see the 50 people. So what happened? A miracle. A miracle. We were all the way down on the basement level, and the house just flew away, and we were able to find shelter. Say, Baruch Hashem. It will be a happy day. They said, what are you happy for? The house is gone. The house is gone. You'll call a contractor, you'll get insurance, you'll build a new house. The fact that you're alive is a happy day. So therefore, if they're looking for the 21 days of, I guess, sadness, they're not going to count Tisha B'Av, because Tisha B'Av, there was a redeeming factor. That's the way I would have explained. If I'm not mistaken, the Jerusalem Talmud also writes that Mashiach ben David was born, or is born, on Tisha B'Av. So therefore, you see also the day is the beginning of the redemption. So maybe that's why they didn't count the day itself. We begin today's shiur. I have over here a copy of a rabbi called the Pri Tzadik. Who is the Pri Tzadik? Pri Tzadik was a rabbi called Rav Tzadok HaKohen. He was a great, great philosopher, Kabbalist, rabbi, and he wrote many books, and he's known to always reveal secrets of the Torah. He writes this not in this week's parasha, in next week's parasha, Parashat Matot, in the letter Yud, he says, Ita b'shem HaRebbe Rav Ber. He's quoting his Rebbe. Zatzal. Al Pasuk. Kol rodefea esigua ben amitzarim. Perush. Kol rodefea Hashem. Anybody that wants to get close to Hashem, kol rodefea. Rodefeya. Those that want to chase God, those that want to come close to God, esiguha. They can reach him. When can they reach him? Ben amitzarim. כמשל המלך כשאיננו בביתו, יש ביכולת להגיע אליו בנקל יותר. He says, when the king is in the palace, you can't get to him. When the king is in the field, you have access. During the Ben HaMitzarim, since the Jewish people are in exile, God is in exile as well, and therefore one can reach very high levels of spirituality during these 3 weeks. You think not. You say, well, we're in the summer. You know, what can happen in the summer? And the contrary. The 3 weeks actually are a time for tremendous spiritual growth. And then he says, V'arinyan hu. Why is it so? Ki chaf bet yamim. Oh. I see Rav Tzadok HaKohen. I'll tell you why it's important these days. Because the 22 days, I jumped, 22 days, we just got finished, everybody's telling me it's 21. He says, Sheben HaMitzarim, where'd they get 22 from? Hem keneged chaf bet otiyot haTorah. 22 is a magic number, you know. If I were to tell you, what's the magic number 22? What does it correspond? There's only one thing that 22 corresponds. The 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. From Aleph to Taf. So he says, if you look at Megillat Echa, that we read on Tisha B'Av, it's written in the Aleph Bet sequence. Every chapter is either written Aleph Bet Gimel Dalet Hev Vav or backwards, but every chapter is written in sequence of Aleph Bet. The rabbis say why? It's just because the temple was destroyed because we went against the Aleph Bet. What do you mean we went against the Aleph Bet? No, everybody believed in the Aleph Bet. It's easy to believe in an Aleph and a Bet. The problem is the Torah is written with the 22 letters. Our Torah is a book of letters that make words. So once the Jewish people went against the Torah, they transgressed the 22 letters of the Torah. And once they transgressed the 22 letters of the Torah, that was a reason for a destruction. Therefore we read Megillat Echa, which has the 22 letters. And then he goes on to say that the 22 days, each day corresponds another letter of the alphabet. If that's the case, Shiv'asar b'Tammuz, I guess, would be the letter Aleph. Shiv'asar b'Tammuz was Tuesday. Yesterday will be the letter Bet. Today is the third day of Ben HaMitzarim, so it would be the letter Gimal. And I guess if you go all the way to Tisha'a B'Av, Tisha'a B'Av would be the last letter in the alphabet, which would be the letter Taf. And he says it. He writes, Ba'anyanu, Kichav Bet Yamim. שבין המצרים הם נגד כבית אותיות התורה שעברו ישראל. לכן הקינות שבאיכה, the lamentations of איכה, הם מאלף ועד תף. על רמז זה, to hint to us the 22 letters. ויוד זיין בתמוז הוא כנגד אות אלף. So he says it. He tells us why. What is one of the things that happened on Shiv'asar b'Tammuz? Well, there's five things that happened. Hazakah u'berucha. One of the things that happened is that Moshe Rabbeinu broke the luchot. And the first letter on the luchot is what? Hazakah. Anuchi Hashem Elohecha. Anuchi Hashem Elohecha is an aleph. So he writes, V'yud zayin b'Tammuz u'keneged ot aleph. שבו ביום נשתברו הלוחות, המתחילים באות א', אנוכי. ותשעה באב, Hu neged taf. What's the taf? In Megillat Echa, the taf is the pasuk. Tam avonech batzion. Lo yosif laglotech. Daughter of Zion, your sins have been absolved. Your sins have been atoned. Tam avonech batzion. Because once God destroyed the temple on Tisha B'Av, he spared the people. So God said, it's either the people or the building. After he took away the building, God told us, Tam avonech batzion. Your sins have been paid for. You didn't have to pay it with your body, you paid it with your bricks. And therefore, since that pasuk is taf, and that happened on Tisha B'Av, so Tisha B'Av is connected, Tam avonech batzion. Sheshafak hamato alesim babanim. Okay. So now we see it's 22 letters. 22 days, 22 letters again. Although it's a very, very fascinating piece of the Pri Tzaddik. That means every single day of the Bina Mitzvah is corresponding a letter of the Torah. Now we know the letters of the Torah are the building blocks of creation. It means every day of Bina Mitzvah there's a letter that's connected that Yom. We don't have that any time of the year, that there's a day that's corresponding to a letter. We know the power of the letters of the Torah. Chas v'shalom, if a Sefer Torah was destroyed, was burnt, we have to fast for 40 days. We bury it, we make a funeral, we say Kaddish. The letters of the Torah are very, very, very holy. The fact that each day of the Bina Mitzarim corresponds a letter of the Torah is very, very significant. However, we go further. Each one is connected to 22 letters. The question is, on Sheva Asar B'Tammuz, it says Moshe Rabbeinu brought down the Luchot. That's when he brought down the tablets. When he got down to the mountain, he saw the Jewish people worshipping the Egel. At that point, the stone became very heavy for Moshe, and as a result, he threw them, and as a result, they shattered. The Gemara wants to know, why did they become so heavy? Moshe Rabbeinu was a gibor. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to fend off even Og Melech HaBashan, the biggest giant. You're right, the people made sins, but it says they became heavy. It doesn't say he threw them. Okay, ladies, okay, I'm just asking a question. So the Gemara says, that the letters of the Luchot actually flew off. The letters themselves jumped off the Luchot. And as a result, the tablets then became heavy. The way I understand it, the Gemara says, "Hay noseh et atzmo." I never did this study, but I believe the Gemara. Do you ever hear of an English saying? They say, "Dead weight." They say that a dead person weighs heavier than a person who's alive. Oh yeah, I don't work for the Havra Kaddisha, but I would imagine that that's true. They say the reason is because when a person is alive, he has the air inside of him, so therefore he carries himself a little. The dead weight has nothing lifting him. He's just immobile. So his weight is much heavier. They say that it's a halakha, hainos et atzmo. Anyway, I assume that the tablets are dead weight. But when you put the letters of the Torah on them, that's the life of it. The letters of the Torah is like the neshama of the brick, of the stone. So then when the letters are on the tablet, it gives it lift. It gives it... they say that when the Leviim used to carry the ark actually carried them. If you look close, you see the feet of the Leviim were not on the ground. They would hold the ark, and all of a sudden they would be lifted, and they would just... Lehavdi was like a helicopter. You held on to it, and all of a sudden it propelled the לבימיו. הארון נושא את נושאיו. It's a power of Torah. Don't think we carry the Torah carries us. Our blessing comes from the Torah, not vice versa. We don't give the blessing to the Torah blesses us. So I guess when Moshe Rabbeinu was holding it, he wasn't feeling anything, because the letters were holding it. But once the Egel was there, the letters immediately moved away. It seems that Moshe could have held the stone if he wanted to, but he understood that if the letters are going off, that must mean there's no reason to keep the stone, and he threw it. And at that point, all the letters of the Luchot went flying. It doesn't tell us where they went, the letters, but they went somewhere. I'd like to know where they went, just as a side point. I'd like to know where they went.
Spiritual.
Oh, it's spiritual. So, what do you mean spiritual? There was the letters were real letters, no? Ezan, I know you never thought of this question before, so think for a minute. I want to know where the... It says they went. They went up, they went down, they went to China. Where did the letters go? Ladies, maybe we'll see an answer in a second. But there's a Hiddush here. The Hiddush comes from the Gemara, Baba Kama, page 55. There's 22 letters in the alphabet, correct? So that means the 22 letters that were under Luchot, all of them, just went all over the place. There was Aleph, a Bet, a Gimel, maybe two Alephs, 10 Alephs, I don't know the numbers. But every letter was represented, correct? Is that a fair statement to say? All the letters of the 22 letters were represented under Luchot. Did you ever do a study? Did anybody ever look at the 10 Commandments? Are all the letters in the 10 Commandments? Are all the letters there? Well, I know an Aleph is there, a Nun is there, a Chaf is there, a Yud is there. That's Anuchi. Hashem, Yudke Vatke is there. Hotzeticha, Chaf Sofit is there. Tzadi is there. Taf is there. All the letters there. So the Gemara says, incredible, on Gemara Baba Kama, Sha'al Rabbi Hanina ben Agil, et Rabbi Hiya bar Abba. He asked him the following question. מפני מה בדברות הראשונות לא נאמר בהם טוב ובדברות האחרונות נאמר בהם טוב. Oh. In the second tablets, the word tov is written. Not actually tov, but it's written yitav lach. Where is that written? In the commandment, the fifth commandment. Kabed et abicha ve et imecha. Honor your parents. Why should you honor your parents? Lema'an yitav lach. So, you will have it good. In the first set of tablets, it says, Kabed et abicha ve et imecha, lema'an yarichun yamecha. It does not say yitav. Which means his real question was that if you look in the first set of tablets, you will not find the letter Tet. There is no Tet. The second tablet definitely is a Tet. That's why it says Leman Yitav. Honor your parents and you'll have it good. But the word good is not written in the first set. So he asked the rabbi, Hacham, could you tell me why there's a discrepancy? I thought that the first tablets and the second tablets were a duplicate. I thought it was a carbon copy. Now you're telling me that actually it was different. Well, I know Shamor and Zachor were different, and I know there's some other discrepancies, but now you're telling me the word Tov, why should the word Tov not be written? That was his question. His answer. אלא כך אמר לי שמואל בר נחום, אחי אמו של רב אחא ברבי חנינה. You're learning Gemara once in your life. Now you're learning Gemara. ואמרי לה אבי אמו של רב אחאי ברבי חנינה. הועיל וסופן להשתבר. You know why I didn't say the word טוב in the first Luchot? because God knew they're going to break. So what? Well, you answer. When I read the Gemara, I didn't react like you. You understand it better than me. It says, it doesn't say, took us because of the break. Your reaction is, oh. The Gemara says, v'chisufan nehishtaber, my happy. So what? So let it break. Let the word tov break. What's the big deal? Amar avasheh has v'shalom. Paska tova mi Yisrael. If the tov would have broke, there would not be any tov for Yisrael anymore. The breaking of the luchot, if the word tov would have broken with the rest of the letters, that tov would not be repairable. That tov would be gone, and there would be no good for Klal Yisrael. So God did us a favor. God knows the future. He says, "Do not write Yitab over here, Moshe. Leave it." By the way, now it's coming to my mind. That's probably how Moshe Rabbeinu knew he could throw the luchot. When he looked at the spelling, and God told, he was writing the luchot, God said, don't write Lema'an Yitav. What do you mean, why should I write Yitav? That already hinted to Moshe Rabbeinu, that if something goes wrong, at least we can break the luchot, and the tov will not be taken away from Klal Yisrael. There was a rabbi called Hatam Sofer. The Hatam Sofer has derashot. He has a derash the following. There's a pasuk in Tehillim. Ach tov li Yisrael. Ach tov li Yisrael means it's only good for Yisrael. I go to Panama a lot. He used to be the chief rabbi of Panama, was Hakam Sion Nevi alav shalom. He was a big tzaddik, Hakam Sion. And by the time I got around to start going to Panama, he was old in years. But thank God we had many years together with him. And whenever he would sit down, he would wince, ugh, ugh. Like the old men when they're sitting, he would say, ugh. And then he would sit down, he would say, ach, and then he would say, Tov li Yisrael. He would finish the pasuk. Ach, Tov li Yisrael. So he says, even the ach, even the troubles, Tov li Yisrael. It's kapara, it's good for Yisrael. Even the ach is good for Yisrael. And then he said, how does he know that? Because it says, when Noah came off the Teva, it says, Vayisha'er ach Noah. When Noah came off the Teva, it says he was limping because the lion hit him in the leg. So the pasuk says, "Vayishair ach Noah." When Noah came up to Teva, he said, "Ach," because of his leg. So from that, he would always say, "Ach." Even the "Ach" is Tov li Yisrael. But says the Hatam Sofer beautifully. He says, "Ach" equals how much? 21. In the first set of luchot, there was only 21 letters. So he says, and which letter was missing? The tet, from the word Tov. So he says, ach, the 21 letters, Tov li Yisrael. That's why it's good for Yisrael. Because if there would have been 22 letters, then Tov would have been destroyed, and Klai Yisrael would never have anything good. The ach is actually a benefit. It brings Tov to Yisrael. The tet is missing. It's actually something that's good. There's a rabbi called B'nai Yisaskar. The B'nai Yisaskar writes on this. Incredible. In the beginning of his talk on the Ben HaMitzarim, Ma'amar Bet, I quote, Yudzayin B'tamuz, Bo Nishtaberu HaLuchot. Okay, we know that. Yudzayin B'tamuz, the tablets were broken. 21 letters, they're going somewhere, wherever they're going. Velo B'mikre Hu Yudzayin. Oh. You think it's a coincidence that the Luchot were broken on the 17th of Tammuz? Why weren't they broken on the 18th of Tammuz? Why not on the 14th of Tammuz? What the 17th of Tammuz? Rabbi, do the math. From the day, from the 6th of Sivan to the 40 days later is, but there's a reason the 17th of Tammuz. 17 is the numerical value of which Hebrew word? Very good, ladies. Tov. Tet is 9. Vav is 6. That's 15. And Bet is 2. Tov equals 17. So he writes, Ki yud zayin begematria tov. Vehu al pi ma she'amru bebaba kama. Mepene ma en tet bedeberot. Why isn't there a tet in the first nukot? Ki haya galui viyadu alefanab yitbarach shemo, because God knew. She'atidin leishtaber. The tablet's going to be destroyed. Ve'yomru has v'shalom pasak atov. Then God forbid the tov is going to be finished. Al ken en bahem tet. Rak b'luchot sheniyot. Only in the second tablets. Lomar, shekol ele anyanim tov li Yisrael. Which means even the destruction of the first luchot, there was good in it. What was good in it? That there was no tet. So therefore it's destroyed on Yud Zayin B'Tamuz. Or the way we would say it, it was destroyed on Tov B'Tamuz. To hint to us that even though the tablets were destroyed, the Tov was preserved. Al ken iram ma'aseh b'yom Tov B'Tamuz. Okay. So therefore, the B'nai Yisraskat confirms this. Now we go further. Question is, what happened with these letters? Where did these letters disappear? One of the great rabbis of Jerusalem, Rabbi Pinchas Friedman, who happens to be a close friend, so he sent me the following theory. Following thesis that he has. And that's the thesis that I came to tell you today. It's a big chiddush. He's a rabbi from Jerusalem. English speaking also. Mm-hmm. He has an author of many seferim as well. But that's his famous set. He was very, very gracious. He surprised me. Last week he came to New York to one of the Shiva Berachot of my son. Which I thought was, and he spoke at the Shiva Berachot as well, which was a great, great privilege and great honor. And during that time that he was there, he shared the following thought. He said, there's a rabbi that's called Rama Mipano, Rabbi Menachem Azariah Mipano, a great mekubal. He says that the letters that were on the Luchot, the first set of Luchot, those letters had inside of them and in between the lines all of the Torah, Shebichtav, and all the Torah Sheba'al Peh, even though it's only the Ten Commandments. But each letter had inside of it a lot. If you imagine, if you see 10 bags, but each bag inside of it has hundreds of items. So it's not 10 bags. Each letter that Rama Mipano says of the 10 commandments, if you open it up, inside of it is chidushim and chidushim. It's just being held in the letter. Which means in the 10 commandments, if you know how to decipher it correctly, you can unravel the entire Torah. You know what? I'm thinking now. He didn't tell me this, but I'm thinking now. You know what it would be like? The DNA. You know, they say if you unravel the DNA, it's miles and miles and miles and miles of codes that actually make up the whole human body. But it's all wrapped up in such a concise way that the DNA is tiny. But when you start to unravel it, you see it's very, very long. Similarly, the DNA of the Torah was written in these letters. And he proves it. I made a copy of the Rama Mipano. He proves it. And he writes, regarding the letters of the Torah, Mimula'im. Mimula'im means they're stuffed. Mimula'im b'tarshish. Tarshish is like something precious. Alaluhot. Sheben kol dibur v'dibur, in between every line, diktukeha v'otiyoteha, and the letters. You have in it Torah, Mitzvah, Torah Shebichtav, Torah Sheba'al Peh, and he says, the Pasuk writes this, when it says, HaTorah v'hamitzvah asher katavti. God says, I gave you the Torah and the mitzvah that I wrote. Where did he write it? On the tablets. That initially all of the Torah was written in these words. Well, so what happened? Something amazing happened. On the day that Moshe Rabbeinu threw the tablets, the letters all of a sudden started to fly. And where did they fly? They went and they became scattered all over the world. And they landed in all different places. Which means, not only the letters landed, but the letters represent the entire Torah. That means in every location, wherever Jews find themselves, there's a reason why they're in that spot. Because one of the letters of the Luchot landed in that spot, and with it, when it lands, it opens up and there's much Torah that you cannot see. God would bring Jews to a certain location, and in that spot their obligation is to draw the Torah of that spot. And if you look at Jewish history, you see it's amazing. Torah was never accomplished in one location. The Talmud was written in Babylonia, Babel. The Jerusalem Talmud was written in Eretz Yisrael. The major rabbis that interpreted the Talmud, many of them were from Europe. Rashi, the Tosafot, those European rabbis were from France. Many others were in a different spot. They were in Spain. Maimonides, the Rashba, the Ritva, the Rosh. And therefore God put many Jews in different locations. Like Rabbi Meir Shapiro, the founder of Daf Yomi, once said. He said, why was he so excited about the principle Daf HaYomi, that all Jews around the world would be studying the same Daf of Gemara every day? You know that movement, you've heard of it, I'm sure. Ladies are not part of it, but they share in their husband's zechut. The men get up early or they stay late and they read a page of the Talmud. There's about 2,800 pages. The Hiddush of Rabbi Shapiro was that every day, everybody will read the same page. They asked him, what's the benefit? He said, there's many benefits. But one benefit he believed was, it'll unify the Jewish people. Well, he was right. Because now I have a common language with a Jew that I see in the street. Now on the way to the class, somebody sees me. Oh, Rabbi Eli, you did today's daf? I said, yes. Oh, I had a question on the second side. How did you? Now we have a conversation. We're reading the same curriculum. We have something to talk about. So he believed that it unifies the Jewish people. Tomorrow or morning, 100,000 people will be learning the same book, same page of the book. That's incredible. So he said, what gave him the idea? He said, when he opened up the first page of the Talmud, it's Berachot, page 2. He starts with the Mishnah. That's how Gemara begins, with the Mishnah. He said, where was this Mishnah written? The Mishnah was written in Israel. And then, after the Mishnah is finished, you have the Talmud's interpretation of the Mishnah. He said, wait, where was the Talmud written? In Babylonia. So now you need the Jews of Babylonia to explain the Torah of the rabbis of Israel. But we don't know what the Gemara means. So you go to the commentary on the side, it's Rashi. So you need a rabbi from France to explain the Torah of Babel that's explaining the Torah of Yerushalayim. He says, but wait. He says, but in order to understand Rashi, which was in Vermeiza, in Worms, you need to go to Tosafot. Tosafot was the grandchildren of Rashi. They were in Frankfurt, and they were in other cities in Europe. But then to understand that, you have to go to the Maharsha, which was in a different city, and then the Maharam. And then you need to go to Austria. And he starts to say, wait, to understand one Mishnah, you need to go basically around the world and back. Anybody that gave interpretations was from a different place. Now imagine if we didn't have all these rabbis from the different locations, you would not be able to explain one word of the Mishnah. When a person studies the Talmud, he's taking a tour around the world. He's going from one makom to another makom, and altogether, collectively, the Klal Yisrael in all the locations interpret Torah. So he said, the Torah was built on this unity. That gave him the idea to unify the Jewish people by studying the same page again. But for my point is, why did God bring us to these places? Because every place where one of the letters of the Luchot scattered, landed, this is what the rabbi said at least, so God would orchestrate it that Jews would go to that spot. And now their obligation would be to extract the Torah from that location. There's a Maharal. The Maharal writes in his Sefer Tiferet Yisrael, the Maharal says, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai quotes, Has v'shalom shetishtakach Torah miYisrael. The Torah will never be forgotten from the Jewish people. Ela shelot timsa halacha berura b'makom echad. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai predicted, the Torah will never be forgotten, but you will not be able to find it in one location. When the Beit HaMikdash was around, you found it in one location, in Jerusalem. Ki mitzion tetzeh Torah. Anybody that needed a ruling went to the temple. On the Temple Mount, there was an office. It was called Sanhedrin. That's where the greatest rabbis stood. That's where they sat. But after the temple was destroyed, the Bishamon predicted, the Torah will not be forgotten, but it's not going to be centrally located anymore. It's not going to be in one place. I know you have the chief rabbinate of Israel. But the chief rabbinate of Israel, with all due respect, we have great rabbis outside of Israel. Is anybody going to say that in New York, where we had Rav Moshe Feinstein, alav shalom, anybody going to say that his rulings are anything less than the chief rabbinate of Israel? Certainly not. So therefore, God scattered the Torah all around the world. So he writes, Rotze lomar, ki bevadai kachu. That's the way it has to be. Ki haTorah hi tzurat Yisrael. The Torah follows the pattern of the Jewish people. And the status of the Jewish people becomes the status of Torah. When God commanded after the temple's destruction, exile, and therefore they're scattered all over the world. That's where the Torah has to be. Torah has to be in every location. And in order for the Torah to become complete, you need Jews all around the world in their spot to recover the letter in that area with all its contents, and then to spread it out, and then to promote it. So don't take it for granted that we landed here in this spot. You go to a certain city, you see many yeshivot. Know that from the times of the Shiva Asab and Tammuz, when the Luchot were broken, that spot received. I once saw an interpretation to a Mishnah Pirkei Avot. The Mishnah Pirkei Avot says, it's talking to students. It says, Heve gole lemakom Torah. You should exile yourself to a place of Torah. What do they mean when they say that? They say, this is a makom Torah. So the explanation I once heard is, that any time a person finds himself in a certain spot, if you're a Jew, that's divinely orchestrated. The reason why you find yourself in such a spot is because that place is a makom Torah before you got there. And therefore, exile yourself to a place where there's Torah. Every place that a Jew finds himself must be a makom Torah. Every place is a place where there must be Torah in the environment. And therefore one has to extract it. And all that happened when? On Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. On Shiva Asar B'Tammuz begins the exile out of the Jewish people, but begins the exile of the Torah Kedushah. When those letters were scattering all over the world, the Jews were going to scatter with them, and they were going to have to follow them wherever they land. Oh, if that's the case. If that's the case, we go further. There's one letter that did not travel. There's It's one letter that stayed in place. And that's the letter Tet. And that's the letter that represents the word Tov. The rabbi's theory is like this. He says the reason why the letter Tet, which represents the word Tov, the reason why it wasn't on the Luchot, he says, because if it was, we would not be able to access the Torah anymore. The Pasuk says, Ki lekach tov natati lachem. The Torah is called Tov. If that Tov would have been destroyed, finished, the Torah would have been destroyed with it, and then Klal Yisrael would not be able to have any Torah, and then if there was no Torah, the world would not exist. And therefore, it was a chesed, it was a kindness of God, that He left the Tov away, that Tet not being written, is a insurance. If the Tov would have been destroyed, there's no Torah. Oh, if that's the case, he goes on to explain. And he says, and I quote, the letter Tet represents Torah. How do I know? There's a tradition that the Gemara writes. A baby in his mother's womb studies Torah from the beginning of the pregnancy until the child is born. It says there's an angel on the child's head with a light, and the child studies the Torah from beginning until the end. The Gemara Nida says that those months that the child is in the mother's womb are the most pleasurable months. The child just sits back and eats whatever his mother eats. The child doesn't have any waste. The child doesn't cry. All he's just sitting like in Gan Eden and doing one thing, studying Torah. Says the Rabbi Maharal, how many months is that child studying Torah?
9 months.
He says, because the 9 months represents the letter Tet. And the letter Tet represents the Tov. And anytime you see the letter Tet, it represents Tov. Without that letter Tet, if that letter Tet would have been destroyed, so you see the letter Tet and Torah go hand in hand. A child studies 9 months Torah. The first yeshiva that a child goes to, it's not for 8 years. It's not for 12 years. The first yeshiva gets his diploma after 9 months. Keneged the letter Tet, he says. Gemara Bekama writes, and I quote, Gemara quotes, Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi says, Haro'e Tet b'halomo. If a person has a dream, and in the dream you see the letter Tet, not tonight, because I put it in your head already. And now of course you're going to dream about a Tet, because that's all we talked about the whole day. It means after you forget the class, and then you dream about it. Siman yafelo. The Gemara says, Siman yafe. It's your lucky day. Yeah. Whenever you see the letter Tet in the dream, oh, know that that's a Siman yafe. So the Gemara says, why? So he says, because if you look in the Torah, when is the first Tet ever written in the Torah? Bereshit. Bara Elohim et haShamayim veet haAretz veAretz hayta tov v'avo. Go all the way. The first time a Tet is written is Vayar Elohim et haOr kitov. So the first Tet was written tov, and therefore, if you see a Tet in the Torah, it's referring to that original Tet of the Torah, and therefore Siman Vayar Elohim et haOr. And which Or was that talking about? That Or was referring to the Or of the Torah. That Or that comes from the Torah, God said, that Or is Kitov. And therefore God said, if the Tov would have been broken with the first tablets, there would be no chance for Klal Yisrael, Chas V'Shalom, to move on. Oh, if that's the case. There's one more thing about the letter Tet. There's one more thing about the letter Tet. The Zohar HaKadosh writes, I have a Tet over here. I mean, I wasn't planning on bringing it, but I have it. You see over here, the letter Tet?
Yes.
You see the top of the letter Tet over here? The right side of the Tet? The right side of the Tet goes in. It's one of the only letters that does that. Instead of having the letter like this, the top of it bends down into the letter itself. That's the construction of the Tet. The Zohar HaKadosh makes a big deal out of it. The language of the Zohar HaKadosh, when it talks about the letter Tet, he says like this. The Ot Tet Tuvya Ganiz Begave. The letter Tet represents something that's good, but you don't see it. It's inside. Tuvya ganuz begaveh. The good is hidden inside. It's something that on the outside looks not so good, but inside you see the... So the rabbis explained, on Tish'a B'Av, and here's the secret of the day. There's 21 letters that were missing. On the first day, Shiva Asar Tammuz, Aleph, and then Abed, and then, but there's only 21 letters. So therefore we don't have to count 22 days. My question initially was, hey, it's 22 days. No, go slow. Once you're telling me it's corresponding the letters, like Rav Tzedek HaKohen said, so now I can tell you if it's corresponding the letters, we don't need to count 22 letters. It comes out according to this, that on Tisha B'Av, the reason why we don't say supplication and the reason why it's called a holiday is because Tisha B'Av represents which letter?
Tet.
The Tet. How do I know? Because if you take the words Tisha B'Av, what is Tisha B'Av? Av is Aleph Bet. And Tisha is Tet. Tet B'Aleph Bet. Tisha B'Av represents the Tet, the letter Tet of the Aleph Bet, which means God says, on that day of Tisha B'Av, it represents the good that is within inside. What can be good about these days? That the Tet wasn't destroyed. That the Tet wasn't there. Lucky you. So even though the temple was destroyed, but on that day, the letters went all over the world. And therefore, Tisha B'Av is really a day of consolation. That's why by midday already we get off the floor. We sit on the chair because Tuvya Ganiz B'Gaber. Inside the Tet represent there's something good inside. What can be good? The Tov is there. So even though on Tisha B'Av we're sitting Avel v'Hafui Rosh, Avel means mourning, Hafui Rosh means our head is covered. But even with the Avel v'Hafui Rosh, it's Tov. Underneath the blanket we say, it's good. What's good about this? Baruch Hashem. It's the Tet. The Tet was not destroyed. That's why we say Avel v'hafui rosh. What's the first letter of Avel? Aleph. V'hafui. Vav. V'hafui. Vav. Rosh. Resh. That's Rashi Tevot Or. Or is Rashi Tevot Avel v'hafui rosh. And that's what the Pasuk means. Vayar Elohim et Or. God saw the day of Tisha B'Av, which is Avel v'hafui rosh. And what did he say? Kitov. Even that is Tov. It's connected. The Tet, and therefore it's a consolation. So therefore, it's true when Parashat Pinehas begins the 3 weeks, it's to remind us that Eliyahu Navi is going to come one day. Pinehas Eliyahu. It's to remind us that the 21 holidays that we cannot bring sacrifices, we're going to bring the sacrifices when the temple is going to be built. But today we have another consolation that it's only 21 days. Everybody says. Because it's 21 letters. And the fact that one letter did not break, in that zechut of that one letter, the Tov, God says, Ki lekach tov natati lachem. Now the Torah is going, if that letter would have been destroyed, then God forbid we would never be able to replace the Torah. But because the Tov remained in Shamayim, and therefore Tisha B'Av represents the 22nd letter, the letter that remained by God, by Yad Elohim et Ta'or, the Avev v'Hafui Rosh, Kitov. Now, that alone is a great consolation. What is the responsibility for us? Ironically, On Tisha B'Av, we can't study Torah. That's the one day a year that you're not allowed to study Torah. But I don't know how the Yetzer Hara works. There's probably more Torah studied on Tisha B'Av than any day of the year. I don't know how that exactly ended up happening. And there's videos, and there's rabbis, and there's classes. No, there are no people in the synagogue studying Torah. Although we try to study the things that are only appropriate for Tisha B'Av, but to me, that's a sign from God. The reason why there's so much Torah on Tisha B'Av, legitimate, the Torah that we're able to study, not the Torah of, that's forbidden. The reason why Tisha B'Av specifically is a day of Torah, because that's the consolation. That with all of the destruction, God did not destroy the Tov, the Lekach Tov. And therefore, it's our responsibility to collect as much Torah as we can. There was one rabbi called Rav Shlomo Kluger, and I'll conclude with this. Rav Shlomo Kluger wrote a sefer. In the beginning of the sefer, he writes the following. The sefer is called Tuv Ta'am Vada'at. In the beginning of Tuv Ta'am Vada'at, Chelek Bet, in the introduction, he wrote a book. He says the pasuk in Kohelet. The pasuk in Kohelet says, Asot Sefarim Harbeh En Ketz. What does the pasuk mean? There's no limit to the amount of books that have been written. Asot Sefarim Harbeh En Ketz. It's true. Every day new books are coming out. Every day there's new, in all facets of society. You go to the bookstores, always new books. Every day they change the table. Asot Sefarim Harbeh En Ketz. He says, what does it mean? I always understood the pasuk as derogatory. Shlomo is saying, enough. How many books are these people going to write over here? We have enough books. He says, no. He says that Mashiach cannot come until we reveal all the Torah that was lost. On that day when the Luchot broke, so therefore all the Torah is scattered around the world. We have to retrieve it. So he says, and until we retrieve the last Hiddush of Torah, the Mashiach cannot come. So he explains it like this. Asot Sefarim Harbeh. You know why we need to write a lot of Sefarim? Because En Ketz, because the Mashiach didn't come yet. The end is not here yet. If the end was here, then we don't have to write any more books. But we have to keep on revealing more Hiddushim, because En Ketz, Ketz means the Ketz of the Mashiach, the end of time. And that's really the Musar that comes out of this case. Besides the whole story of how the tent works, the lesson over here is we must commit ourselves to the study of Torah, not children to the study of Torah. Torah is not only in the 9 months of birth, or the 9 months of the pregnancy of a woman. That's only a remez, that what you did in your mother's womb must be continued outside. And then Be'azat Hashem will be fulfilled, and that's the pasuk. כי לקח טוב נתתי לכם, הרואה תת בחלום סימן יפה לו, וירא אלוהים את האור כי טוב. And then בעזרת השם will be fulfilled on us what it didn't say in the first tablets. למען ייטב לך, that בורא עולם will bring טוב to us, בעולם שכולו טוב, אמן כן ירצה.